Sometimes I was told a lot of great examples of people to follow from the Bible, but what seemed to be missed a lot of the time was Jesus is the ultimate example to follow. All these people in the Bible, all these characters, we've got things to learn from, but the ultimate model of life, and we can learn many, many good things, and also many mistakes from people in the Bible as well. But the ultimate example of how to live the ultimate life that God has created us to live is Jesus himself. He is the ultimate example. Don't settle for any less than shooting for his example, than trying to live. And maybe you think, well, that's massive, that's huge. It's Jesus, God himself. But actually, by his grace, like we talked about last night, we are able to live that life. We are able to step into that. And as we live that, as we say to you, Jesus, you are the great example, we put you front and center, we are further transformed from the inside out. But there is a journey to us being transformed. There's a journey for us to go on. And tomorrow night we're going to talk about the process of transformation, but we're going to talk about a bit of the journey towards transformation tonight, seeing those kind of characteristics born in our lives. And I was thinking about this evening earlier today, and I really felt just about something we touched on a bit last night, and part of my story I thought would help us in that, was around maybe some of us still feel like our past mistakes, you know, that song that we kind of hung around for a bit and we sang, talked about a million failures, 10 million, I don't know, a number of failures, a lot of failures. And all our past and all that stuff, actually, Jesus removes that. Actually, Jesus can take that, that actually our past and the things that we've got wrong, the things that we have done, actually don't need to affect whether we can be transformed or not by him. And so I want to tell you about two families. I'll tell you a bit about part of my story later, but I want to tell you about two families. There was two families. There was a younger couple and there was an older couple. The older couple had two boys, and both of these couples knew each other through different circles of people, and they were kind of living their lives. They're happy living their lives, or maybe they weren't that happy. And the woman from the younger couple and the man from the older couple began to chat, began to connect, began to talk, and eventually they started to have, I guess one word would be, an affair. They outside their marriages, they got together and they decided to start doing that together. And that eventually came out quite quickly, and it caused a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of breakdown in those families. And what happened from then was that there was a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. They moved out away from all those people. Most of their families wouldn't even talk to them. And they were living together for a while, and they really felt like, actually, we need to go back to church. We need to connect with God. We know kind of what we've done isn't right. We've caused all this hurt, all this pain, all this anguish. And so they decided, right, we're going to get married. They got married in a pub. They didn't get married in church. They got married in a pub. And then they started going back to church. So they were legally married and started going to this little Baptist church. And then a few years later, the lady fell pregnant. And so this is the older man, the younger lady from these two couples. The man married, she's pregnant. And soon as she's in pregnancy, quite well into it, some people had been saying things to her, like, well, because of the things you've done, because of the life you two have lived, because of the hurt and pain you've caused, there'll be this baby surely can't be anything good. Surely this baby will be affected. You know, Jesus even talks about that. He challenges that in his day because people said that guy on the side of the road is blind because of his parents' sin, because of what his parents have done wrong. And Jesus challenged that. He said, that's not a thing. And so this woman was having these things said to her by certain people. But then her auntie came along and she said, this baby will be a gift of grace and will reunite the family. And this woman couldn't really believe that until she began to actually see something happen. And as the baby was born, her parents hadn't been talking to her. Her whole family wouldn't even speak to her. But when that baby was born, the whole family was reunited on both sides and came back together. And that baby was a gift of grace. It became true what her auntie had said to her about what God was going to do through this baby. And from then on, those people and that family began to grow and change, and they put a bunch of different things in place. But they made some choices to say, actually, we need to be more hungry for God. We want to see God do more things in our life. We need Jesus to transform us further, to be better parents for this baby, to grow them up to be It was a little boy, a man of God, and all those kind of things, whatever language you want to use. And those people were phenomenal parents. I know that because they were my parents and I was that baby. Actually, that is my family story, and that actually our history, our mistakes, even the things that have gone before us, don't determine whether we can be further transformed by God. See, my parents made decision when I came on that actually they were going to live very different lives. And they weren't going to live out of the past mistakes. They had to acknowledge that. They had to say, actually, God, we got it completely wrong. We messed up and hurt a lot of people, but we need to move on from that. And God took them into a place of being further transformed by him. And I'm so thankful that they made the decision to say, God, we need you to transform us. We need you to do something from the inside out here. Because actually that affects how we raise this child. How we live our lives. How we're generous. How we help others. How we show and share the love of God to other people. And maybe for some of us, we feel like, and maybe we're sitting in this room, we feel like actually our transformation can't fully happen into who God has created us to be. God can't, surely, because of our past mistakes. Well, I believe I'm standing here right now as living proof that God can do that. Because without the investment in my life from my parents, I wouldn't be where I am now. They were the greatest people in my life. They were the greatest leaders in my life. They were the greatest disciples, whatever words you want to use. That because of the investment they put in me, I know I wouldn't be living the life I'm living for God now. But because they chose to be transformed. Maybe you know the story of Zacchaeus. Anyone know the story of Zacchaeus? Give us a nod. Okay. We're just going to quickly read it. There's a few things to pull out from that about actually how you've been living doesn't fully determine where you've been heading. Actually, Jesus can turn things around. It's in Luke 19. I'm going to read it for you. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there. His name was Zacchaeus. I already told you that. He was the head tax man, quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man. Oh, well, there's everyone in the Bible. He couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is the day I'm going to be a guest in your home. Zacchaeus scrambled down the tree. Sounds like a little monkey or something. It scrambles down. Hardly believing the good luck or the good fortune because, you know, he didn't fully understand who Jesus was and got that Jesus was a bit bigger than good luck or whatever. He delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw this incident was indignant and grumpy. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered and apologetically said, Master, I'll give away half my income to the poor. And if I'm caught cheating, I'll pay four times back the damages. Jesus said, today is salvation day in this home. Here is he, Zacchaeus, the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. Here are some things we can learn about his journey towards transformation, and we'll pull back in the Philippians 2 in a moment because that is where we're heading. That is what we want to live like. That is the picture that we've reminded us from the Philippians 2, the attitude, the life of Jesus. We want to live that kind of life like Jesus, but there is a journey. The first thing we see in Zacchaeus' story is this, is that it is hunger-based. He is hungry for something. He wants to see Jesus. He climbs up the tree, scrambles up a tree, he's desperate to see Jesus. We talked a bit about that last night, opening up our hearts, opening up ourselves. God, you know, what is in our way of being transformed? How hungry am I for what you want to do, God? I'm not going to make you hungry for God. I'm not going to make you want more of Jesus. I'm encouraging us to think, actually, how hungry are we? How much do we want God to do in us? How much do we want Jesus to transform us from the inside out? It says this in a part of the Bible. It says, the eyes of the Lord, God himself, range the whole earth looking for people to strengthen. But it has this caveat on it, has this thing on the end, for those whose hearts are turned towards him. And what that simply means is people like Zacchaeus. So the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the people who were like the religious people, the people who are sort of like living alleged the right lives, they were annoyed or indignant, as it said, grumpy, whatever, got a face on. Like, why are they going to hit? Why is Jesus going to this guy's house? Well, it's because his heart was turned towards Jesus, because he was hungry. It's because he wanted Jesus to change him. He needed something of Jesus. So hunger for transformation is key. Hunger for transformation is key. And it's not just something we have when we're younger. It's something that we need for life. You know, the older I've got, I'm 28 now, just to emphasize age. Okay, when I say older, I mean like since I was 18. The older I've got, the more I realize that I don't know, the more I realize that I need God to come through on stuff, the more I realize I need more wisdom from God, and the more I just realize I need God. Because I seem to know way less than I was when I was 18. I don't know how that's possible. I've definitely grown in that time, and I definitely maybe know more, I've experienced more of God, but actually I've seen more of actually who God can be. Who God is, sorry, and what God can do, and therefore what can be. Let's get the words in the right order. So actually, it starts with that hunger. Zacchaeus was hungry. He had that attitude of hunger. The second thing we see is that actually in moments, Jesus can change everything. That in moments of transformation, moments occur and transformation can happen. You know, maybe for you, it's like there was a moment last night. Maybe there has been a moment at other house parties where you have encountered God, where there's been a moment of transformation in your life, and it's changed everything forever. It's changed your perspective on Jesus. It's changed how you, what you say, how you live. But those moments aren't the end game. We have great moments in our journey with God, great moments of transformation. But it's about a journey of being fully transformed into who Jesus is. And we'll get there into who Jesus created us to be and living life like him. Having that same attitude as him. Living that same kind of life that is modeled, that is talked about in Philippians 2. So are we ready for more moments of transformation? There's already been plenty of moments and opportunities for transformation today. God is giving them us all the time. It's whether we want to grab them. And it comes out of our hunger. And actually, our hunger gives us eyes to see what God might be up to and going, actually, in the worship, this is a great opportunity. What might God want to say to me? What might God want to do? They're good questions to ask. See, none of us are too far from God for him to do something significant in our lives. None of us are too far from him. And Jesus is calling us home to have moments and encounters with him. But it not just to be about high moments, but that for to be part of our journey with him. Stepping into more of who he's created us to be. The third thing that we see in Zacchaeus' story is there's a priority shift. So Zacchaeus, he's hungry, he's up the tree, he's hungry to see Jesus, he wants to see Jesus. He then has this moment with Jesus, transformational moment with Jesus. But then there's decisions that he makes and a change of lifestyle. There's a priority shift in his life. We see this in the life of Paul as well. You know, Paul, we talked about yesterday, Paul writes Philippians. You know, in his story, he wasn't completely transformed in that moment. It was the beginning of the journey when he was on that horse and he fell off the road and all that kind of fell off the horse. The words are really not in the right order tonight. He fell off the horse onto the road. That there was a moment of transformation, but it was the beginning of a journey. He writes this in the part of the Bible in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. Here's the bit. And are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. God has created us in his image, and he is encouraging us to be transformed further into his likeness, into more of who he's created us to be. See, Paul had a transformational moment, but in that moment he recognized, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Jesus, you're in charge. Jesus, I'm living my life for you, but that's the beginning of a journey. Zacchaeus, he does that. Jesus even says, salvation has come to this house because his priorities have shifted. That's how Jesus sees some of that change in him already. He's going, now I'm not going to rob people. I'm going to give my money to people. I'm going to be generous. You know, a friend of mine, he says, when it comes to priorities, is Jesus in the driving seat of your life? Where is Jesus in your life? Where is he positioned in your life? You know, sometimes you might hear people talk about priorities with like church and family. And us that are adults have definitely heard this a number of times in church in different places. And it's like, oh, what's the top priority? Like Jesus' top priority. Then it's like family. Then it's church. Or is it church? Then it's family. Or it's friends. Or it's this. Or it's that. And I've heard that so many times. Or like, what's the priorities in life? And I just, someone once said something to me and it changed everything, because I'm a really simple person, so I like simple stuff, if I'm honest. And they said this. They said, it's not a case of a priority of like Jesus, then family, then church, then friends, or whatever. What's the most important thing? It's Jesus is number one in church. Jesus is number one in your family. Jesus is number one with your friends. Jesus is number one in school. Jesus is number one in college. Jesus is number one in work. Jesus is number one on your social media. Jesus is number one on your street. That actually, there isn't a hierarchy of priorities. It's just wherever we find ourselves, wherever we're living life, Jesus is number one. And if we find ourselves in a place or doing things where Jesus can't be number one, I suggest we just get out of there. And so actually, when we make Jesus number one in every area of our life, it's not a case of what's more important than the other. It's that Jesus is the most important. Everything falls after that. When we put Jesus at the center, because actually when we put Jesus at the center, just like in my parents' story, transformation begins to happen. Just like in Zacchaeus' story, just like in Paul's story, transformation further happens. And the final thing is this that we see in Zacchaeus' life. And this is where we begin to see the Philippians 2 stuff. There's visible fruit. So Zacchaeus has a priority shift, but then he starts to live differently. He starts to live this generous life. There is stuff that's been happening on the inside. There's been transformation happening on the inside. Now there is fruit. It's like there's been seed in the ground, and now it's starting to shoot fruit. We're starting to see evidence. I love... Let me just get my other Bible. What it says in Philippians 2, and this might be the more similar version to what you have, verses 3 to 8, just let me remind you. It says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but to each of you, to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or attitude as Jesus. And this is where it comes. This is like the kind of fruit that we're looking for in our lives. Who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So for us, that's like, it's not just looking at, oh, I know God, therefore I'll use that to my advantage. You know, I've been a Christian this long, so I'll use that to my advantage. It's actually what it says next. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, he made himself in human likeness. So actually, to be more like Jesus, to live a life more like Jesus, we need to get low. You know, if we're thinking about like, you know, getting high, I don't mean like that, but like getting high about like, you know, I know Jesus and, you know, I've been a Christian this long and so on and so forth. It's actually about getting low and saying, actually, I'm going to serve whoever I meet. Actually, it doesn't matter who they are or what they do. My life is about serving others because that's what Jesus did. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know what? Sometimes I read that bit and I go, oh yeah, that's good. Because Jesus died for me. Yeah, he rose from the dead 3 days later. Salvation, awesome. Strong, very good. It's a bit easy for us to read that, I think, in England, in Western Europe, in the Western world. Because actually, verse 8 is a reality for many, many people around the world and many, many Christians. They die for their faith. Like, that verse is a reality. Like living like Jesus is like living like Jesus. They might not be crucified, and most of them aren't resurrected 3 days later, but definitely be a resurrection, the Bible tells us. But for us, what does it look like to die to ourselves? What does it look like? Is there some stuff that actually is actually like us, actually going, I'm not going to live like that. My life is so different. It's just an example to others, and we'll talk about that on Thursday more. But there's something shifts there. There's something different about what it looks like to follow Jesus in that. And so what else does the fruit of transformation look like in our lives? So there's some stuff in there in Philippians 2, but Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23, and some of you will know this, that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of transformation, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the kind of fruit that when Jesus is at work in us, when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, when Jesus is at the center of everything, when we're allowing him to transform us further and more, this is the kind of fruit that is born in our lives. This is the kind of fruit that comes out. This is the kind of fruit that we begin to see in our lives. This is the visible fruit. This is the kind of things I think Jesus really cares about. You know, sometimes it's really important to achieve things. It's really important to be successful in the things you do and give it your best and all that kind of thing. And maybe you never are in the thing, but you give it your best. God is interested in that stuff because he's interested in our lives. But this is like his top priority. It's like, what is the fruit of our lives? Not how many medals we've got, how many certificates we've got. He cares that we do our best and give our best. But he really cares if we're loving and joyful and peace and forbearance. It's like love, joy, peace. Patience is another word for forbearance. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the kind of things that Jesus really cares about. This is the kind of stuff, when we're talking about being transformed, this is the kind of stuff that we're like, it's happened on the inside and will come out. How good is that? That's the kind of thing that maybe Zacchaeus, when he was hungry to meet Jesus, he didn't even know that he was going to end up being generous by the end of the day, and then he'd begin to live this generous life, this faithful life to Jesus. And we see that with Jesus, as Philippians 2 goes on, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus got low, and then God raised him up. That actually, in our lives, let the aim be humility. And what that means is saying, actually, I'm going to live a life to serve others. I'm going to live a life like Jesus. I'm going to live a life that is committed to being transformed by him. And knowing that the outcome is living a life like him, is bearing the kind of fruit that came out of his life. Zacchaeus humbled himself and realized that he needed Jesus more than he needed money. He realized that actually, my mistakes don't disqualify me from transformation. Don't disqualify me from what Jesus can do through me. Transformation is Jesus-centered. That's the simple thing tonight. Transformation is Jesus-centered. If you want to be transformed by Jesus, put him at the center. Make sure that he's number one in everything. Just like Zacchaeus did. We choose to open ourselves with his, Jesus, I need you. I need you to do something in me. I'm hungry. I want more encounters with you, more moments with you. I want my priorities to be my priority to be you in everything that I do. And I know that the fruit that will come out of my life is the kind of fruit that we talked about before, the fruit of you, the fruit of your spirit, the kind of life that you lived. But it simply starts. And when I say starts, it doesn't mean when I become a Christian. I mean every day. Every day starts as going, Jesus, you're the center. Jesus, you are number one. You're at the center of my life. The hardest thing I found when I got to about the age of 18, 19, I've been a Christian a number of years, was it actually seemed like there was a ton of stuff I needed to be doing. And then God kind of slapped me around the face a bit and was like,
Stop overcomplicating this. Stop like generating like all these things that you need to be doing. Put me at the center. Make me number one in your every day. And yeah, do things practically, like talk to me all the time, pray, read your Bible, hear my heart, my heartbeat, and my word. But that all comes out of make him number one every day. And so I want us to reflect on that, and then we're going to have some time of worship after that. The way I want us to reflect is just by using this song that's going to play on a video by a guy called Cody Carnes. It's called Nothing Else, and it talks just about that, about putting Jesus at the center of everything. So you might want to close your eyes and just listen to the words. There's not really much on the video, but listen to the power of these words. Jesus, we want nothing else but you. We could just keep that on in the background for just a moment. That'd be great. Right now, we just fix our eyes on you. We focus on you. We don't want any distractions. We want to make sure that you are our top priority, our number one, that you are right at the center. We're hungry for you. We want moments with you. We want to see your fruit in our lives. Jesus, help us not to overcomplicate. It's even the word's hard. Overcomplicate relationship with you, journey with you, you transforming us further. Help it to be you and nothing else, no one else. Help you to be front and center in our lives. Maybe there's things that God's beginning to speak to you about where you are. Maybe there's things that God's beginning to do in you. Let him. Just let the Holy Spirit do what he's doing. Like we said before, he's already begun some stuff tonight. You feel like, I'm not sure what God wants to do in me. Well, maybe change your posture can help sometimes physically. Hold out your hands. Maybe say, God, I want to receive from something. And you ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I want to receive what you've got for me. I want to be further transformed by you. Ethan's going to begin to lead us in just a moment. But let's just stay in this posture of fixing our eyes on Jesus, focusing on Jesus.